Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening.
Now, well, what are we going to talk about first? I think as far as I know, what we're going to talk about first is landlines. Do you still have a landline? I don't even have one. But lots of people do. And most particularly the people who do are older people who maybe either don't have a mobile or are just, you know, attached to their landline because it was always the way in which they talk to people on the phone. And this listener, Kevin, wants to talk to us about how landlines make older people vulnerable to scamming. Kevin, explain to me what you mean.
Well, just to give you a brief insight, my old father-in-law, who is 87 next week, received 4 scamming phone calls on his landline last Monday morning. Now, 4 in the one morning, targeting the one man. I've done some research online over the past week. Most of these emanate from India, from call centres. They're getting more and more sophisticated. They're targeting particularly elderly people who may be vulnerable. And I really just want to make people aware, particularly sons, daughters, nephews, nieces, neighbours, to look after our older people, because they're the people that have landlines. A lot of younger people now don't even have a landline. We all use our mobiles. And these calls are becoming more sophisticated. The classic example that I've came across recently was a person phones you alleging to be from your bank. They phone your landline.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of this, yeah.
You're their target. They advise you to call your bank back. And, of course, they don't hang up, which means that when you attempt to ring your bank, you're actually talking to somebody else from their scamming department.
Oh,
and
no
you,
way.
You actually think that you're talking to your bank. They don't hang up. So the most important thing is that if you are to use your landline again, make sure that you hear a dial tone first.
Wow, so they're that kind of clever and
yes.
tricksy.
Yes.
Do you know what I've also noticed, Kevin? My lovely mother who died the year before last.
Yes.
Not just scammers, people selling her things. Twice
yes.
I was in her house when somebody tried to sell her, like a telesales person had rung her, and she was clearly very elderly and clearly
yes.
a little confused. You didn't have to be a genius to work that one out.
Yes.
And once I heard her almost being sold a very technical, high-tech computer system that Gina Moore needed,
exactly.
laptops with all kinds of add-ons mm-hmm. and doodads, and once a cruise. Now, the woman could hardly walk, but she was being sold a cruise to the Caribbean or something at vast expense. And it was getting to the point of, and give us your bank details. And
yes.
I remember thinking, that's a kind of a scam too. Like, there are people who know when they're talking to somebody who's clearly...
They do.
Very
they
elderly,
do.
Maybe not even in the whole of their health, as was the case with my mum, that, you know, selling them something is wrong. It isn't just about trying to put your hand in their pocket, but even if you're offering them something, leave them alone.
Yeah, actually, there was a case in County Cork recently where a woman, a very elderly lady, was more or less forced to buy at the door 2 chainsaws.
Yeah.
You know, this was an elderly lady who obviously would have no use for them. And I think, you know, we're talking about 12 months on when the whole country banded together to help each other out with the snow. Now we need to move it up a gear to look after elderly people. There's no snow, but they are vulnerable. I actually bumped into the Garda Prevention crime officer
yeah.
here at the weekend, and he told me that he had a meeting with a group of residents in an area in the city, 300 people present. And on a straw poll, 95% of them had received scamming calls or unwanted telesales calls in the previous week.
Amazing.
In
the previous week.
Not in the previous week.
So that was
week.
The guts of 300 people in a week.
Yeah.
And that was just those three. That's incredible. 5-3. If anyone has been on the receiving end, or if your parents, your mother, your father, your aunt, your uncle or someone like that, or your neighbour has been on the receiving end, we would love to hear from you.
What I do is I tend to have a bit of fun with them because I'm aware that they're scammers. So what they hate is for you to delay them and waste their time. So what I do is when they tell me that they're from Microsoft, I ask them which browser is the best. Is it Google Chrome or Firefox?
God.
And they don't like that because they want to get past that part. But the best part is when they ask me for my credit card payment. And remember, these people know that the first 4 numbers of your debit card, they're generic to everybody in the country, 4319. So I tell them what they want to hear. I give them 4319. And then I make up the next 12 digits, which is the range of my car, the day the dog was born, whatever. The CVV number is my local bus route. And then they'll ask me for the name of the card. And I tell them Barack Obama or Mahatma Gandhi, and it drives them completely ballistic.
And do they know at that point you're taking the mickey?
When you give them the false name, they obviously know at that stage. And some of them have actually scrapped me from their database because they know that I'm onto them, and they've literally, so my volume of scam calls have actually decreased over the last couple of weeks. We used to usually get maybe two a day. But no, they've actually decreased, which is fantastic.
Do you think you're on a hit list of some kind that people kind of get, that lad is not worth wasting
exactly,
our time?
Exactly, there's no point in ringing him, you know. And obviously, these people are working from large databases. And I understand there was a guard told me there recently that you'll never get a call on a Sunday because these call centres are off every Sunday. And if you block the number, they literally will start from a new number the following day. So blocking the number doesn't actually work.
Okay.
They're using new numbers. They're targeting mobiles now as well, and it'll come up on your phone as originating from Clonmel or Sligo or even Dublin. So
I have to say I've stopped on my mobile when I see peculiar numbers, like, not, you know what I mean, not even normal mobiles, but maybe from somewhere like regional place that I wouldn't even regional in Ireland that I wasn't expecting a call from. I let it go to voicemail and let them leave a message if they want to talk to me, because I'm not answering phones to these people because I don't know what they're about. I really like what you're doing with them, kind of drawing them in. You remind me of my late father.
It's a bit of fun.
My dad was very religious, and when you know, Mormons used to come around back in the day, and they'd stand on your doorstep and they'd talk to you about finding God and everything, and most people just used to want to get rid of them and send them on their way, but he used to go out and debate with them about, like, Christianity being, you know, hugely important and everything, and you would see them ultimately trying to escape him in the end, while he bombarded them with quotes from the Bible and the devil knows what.
Brilliant.
And you remind me of that.
Have some fun if you're aware of the situation. Have some fun and draw them out, and they'll actually scrap you from their database. That's all they'll do, and they won't annoy you again. But it's just the elderly people that I'm worried about, that they are vulnerable, because these people are changing their modus operandi. They're becoming more and more proficient at what they do. There's a girl ringing up there now. She gives, her name is Emily. She has phoned me as well.
Emily.
She doesn't have a foreign accent. And she alleges that she's from a well-known telecommunications company. And obviously she's not. So they are becoming more and more proficient at what they do.
And I know that for a long time I've heard the one where we're ringing you, as you say, from Microsoft. And obviously we're very clear that we're not slagging off Microsoft, because it isn't from Microsoft. It's a scam.
But
they ring you from a tech company and say, there's some problem with your laptop, or there's some problem with
your
PC. Can you go online and can you talk us through it? And then you're going to give them account details and you're going to give them all that stuff. Are there other ones that people need to be aware of? Obviously, that's a one. And then there's stuff where they try and get your bank details. Maybe they're your bank getting onto you. But are there other ones, do you think, that are commonly used, Kevin, that maybe people wouldn't be as plugged into?
I think that they're actually evolving so quickly that we have to prepare ourselves for a new scam and a new approach sort of next Monday morning, and another one the following week, because apparently they're phoning all English speaking countries, the US, the UK, Ireland, etc. And obviously local press and radio stations carry these as stories, and they'll change their modus operandi for the following week. So the most important thing is literally just beware. A new one would probably pop up this week or next week again, and it's literally designed to confuse people and to place doubt in your mind that you might engage with them.
Do we have any knowledge of how, like, because the reason they have that scattergun approach where they're ringing so many of us all the time is because the vast majority, it's like with those letters that come in and say, I'm Prince somebody from Nigeria, and I want to give you 4 million euros. And the vast majority of people don't go, oh my God, that's amazing. The vast majority of people go, ha ha ha, that is the worst scam I've ever seen.
It's so bad.
But they send those things because if 99 out of 100 people go, ha ha ha, maybe 1 in 100 goes, oh my God, I've won 4 million euros. So do we have any idea, do you think, of how many? And God, I hate people who scam old people. I hate them with a passion. It's like they've isolated. It's like isolating somebody from the herd. You know, we'll pick off the weak.
And
Do we have any idea how many people, what kind of rates of people fall for this? Like, are people being taken to the cleaners by these gougers?
I have no doubt we have, because we're never going to get the true figure because people won't actually admit to it. And it's difficult to know. But as you say, if one in 50, you know, become scammed, then that's a success for them. And these people are so clever, and so clever at evolving and changing their techniques and their scams. We just need to be permanently vigilant, especially over older people.
I know. And the only good thing about my poor mum, who was vulnerable to these things, and I heard her, I was sitting there and I didn't really realise, you know, I had a key to her house, so I'd come in and let myself in. And if she was on the phone, I wouldn't immediately interrupt her, because she could be on the phone to a pal. And then I'd realise that she was booking a cruise or something. And the only good thing was that she was at the point where she couldn't tell, which it's a bad thing and a good thing, she couldn't tell the difference between like 10 euros and 1,000 euros. She couldn't really tell the difference between zeros, like 1 and 5 were the same term. So she would have found it quite difficult to give them the proper information. But equally, she could have signed up to God knows what. I don't know how we protect people other than highlighting it again and again and again. But
that's the only way to do it.
Yeah. I love this. Someone says, what I do is I ask them to go on hold for a moment or to hold on a second, and then I put the phone beside the radio and leave it there. I love anyone who takes the mickey out of these people, because
just take the absolute mick out of them, and they really hate that.
Nice.
They really, really hate that. It's a sign of defeat, and you've wasted so much time.
I've obviously not been as cool, because what I've been doing is I go, yes, 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 no thanks, no thanks, and I just hang up the phone. But I now think I should actually string them along a little bit just for the crack.
Definitely.
Stay with me a second, Kevin, because I want you to hear this, because one of our other listeners, Mac, is on the line. Mac, what do you have to say about scams?
Well, there's a kind of a fairly popular one. You see advertisements in the newspapers for hearing aids, and they're aimed at elderly people. There'll be a photograph of maybe two elderly people smiling, and there'll be call this number, we have this new hearing aid product, and so on. So sometimes they're printed in the paper, sometimes they come as a loose insert and add a slip of paper. But my parents, 7 or 8 years ago now, they answered one of these ads, and a sales guy came around, and he was pushing a particular, these little tiny hearing aids goes into your right into your ear.
Yeah,
you know,
the real discreet ones,
call them. And he was, for the two hearing aids, now, of course, one would be good, but if you bought the two, your hearing would be much improved.
You'd be bionic.
Yeah, more or less. And it would be €1,500 each. And I arrived home and found this guy in the living room, and he had all this paperwork spread around the place, and he was all enthusiastic, and they were dithering. They thought this was great because my dad was hard of hearing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I asked him a few questions, and his face fell when I started asking him any questions. He really resented the fact that I had come in.
Yeah.
And he was going on about the amount of electronics was in this particular hearing aid. It was incredible, the amount of electronics packaged into such a tiny thing. And I said, well, look, I've got a laptop there, I've got a Mac there. And you're only telling me that it didn't cost €1,500. You're going to tell me there's more electronics in your hearing aid. So anyway, it was upshot. To get rid of them, we told them we'd have a hard think about it, and that we'd get back to him. And he turned quite passive-aggressive, really. He was raging, though, he was. But if somebody didn't... If you had no wits about you, you could very easily...
I've signed up to €3,000.
They were in their 80s, you know?
One thing I would say, and I wasn't there at all, and I hear what you're saying, but one thing is, I think hearing aids are very expensive, and I don't know whether or not those are just sales or whether those things are scams. Do you know what I mean? Are you still...
I think a proportion of them are scams.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
So he was making a big deal about the amount of electronics was packed into this tiny thing.
Yeah,
but I don't care how much electronics is packed into it. It can't cost €3,000 to get a hearing aid made for in each ear. And they weren't particularly going to take an impression or a moulding of your ear.
He wasn't happy with you anyway, Mac. But look,
he certainly wasn't. And I wonder how many people did.
Yeah.
Out to these travelling sales guys, you know.
Yeah, look, thank you for that indeed. The only reason I'm saying that, but hearing is I know they are expensive. I know people who have gone on holidays to America to get a hearing aid in America that's cheaper than the hearing aids they can get here. The hearing aids are a fortune. Loads of people have great plans about what they could do to scammers. Roisin says, I tell scammers that I'm a techie and I love nothing more than a counter-hacking challenge. They immediately hang up. I like it. They're threatening them with their own medicine. And Carmel says, when they call me, Kira, I blow a whistle down the phone. They have stopped calling. I think that's fantastic. And someone says, I receive at least 6 calls a day telling me that my internet is compromised unless I ring a certain number. Every time they ring from a different number, I rang my phone provider and the guards, but all they say is that there's very little they can do. The latest calls are recorded. My name is in the phone directory, so I'm going to go X directory when possible. The whole thing is very unsettling. And I take your point, Bernadette, but I think once they have your number in a database, whether you're X directory or not X directory is not probably going to protect you. I haven't looked in a phone book in donkey's years, and I think most people get phone numbers online or from other sources rather than phone books now days. Kevin, just to come back to you, I take on board what Mac was saying, but I do, I'm just a bit nervous of putting people off hearing aids that actually are expensive that might be a benefit and may not be a scam. But what that texter said there about the guards say that there's very little they can do, that does seem to be the case. So,
most definitely, because I did inquire from this crime prevention Garda sergeant, and he told me that, you know, these calls are emanating from overseas and they change their number every day. Therefore, if you block it, there's nothing that you can do. They'll ring for a different number the following day or the day after. And again, they're coming from overseas. So there's very little that the authorities here can do about it to protect their elderly.
Yeah.
Really, very little.
It seems wrong. And maybe it's just a form of crime that it is wrong, but it's nothing that can be done. But we need to keep banging the drum. Loads of people get involved. James says, Kira, I was plagued with calls about being in a car accident that I'd been in, but that wasn't my fault. Eventually, one day, I said to the caller that I wasn't sure. Maybe it was my fault. She asked me to elaborate, and I told her my guide dog was the one doing the driving that day. I'd say you would be pushed to the pin of your collar sometimes not to react in a very sarcastic manner. Fanula is also on the line. Fanula, what happened to you by way of scams?
Well, about 11:30 one night, I was at home and the phone rang. It was an Indian voice and asked, could he speak to Fanula? And I assumed it was a Microsoft scam. So rather than use bad language, I said, no, she's not here. And I hung up.
Okay.
The phone rings back a few minutes later. And my daughter-in-law was in the house. And I said, you answer it this time. And she said, no, oh, she's not here. Oh, sorry, she's just coming in the door. It was a doctor from the hospital asking me to come in for a scan.
Oh, Fanula.
I've been in hospital the previous day.
Oh, Fanula.
I was so embarrassed.
I'd say you were. I'd say you were. I know someone who did something similar, and what they heard a call and it was a foreign voice on the line asking them something, and they got a bit snippy with them and they hung up the phone, and they rang back and they got very snippy and said, don't call again. And then the takeaway that they had ordered from rang them and said, our driver is trying to find your house. And he says, you've been very peculiar on the phone. People don't mean that. I think we are all quite alert to the fact that there are scammers out there. And many of them are from overseas.
My choice of language is normally very choice when I'm speaking to Microsoft scammers. And I'm glad didn't use the F word with this poor guy. But he, and then I said, oh, it's peculiar, he knows my name.
Oh, God. Oh, Fanula. Oh, and I have to say, for years in hospitals I worked, and there is a huge amount of doctors from the Middle East, from India and everything, and they're some of the finest colleagues I have ever known. Actually, they'd probably think it was quite funny because
this guy was an absolute dote. He was
great people.
Oh, but you were talking about landlines. We have a landline, and I will not get rid of our landline, because the mobile phone signal in the house is absolutely appalling. The phone could be sitting beside me on the chair, on the desk, whatever, and then a few minutes later I get this, you have a missed call. So we cannot rely on the mobile phone.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
So that's why we keep the landline.
Look, thank you for that, Fanula. That's a great story. Someone on Twitter says, I'm ex-directory and on the telephone preference service, so I never get telemarketing or scam calls. I changed my mobile last year and since then I have refused to give it out to PayPal or to other online sites. You know, they do ask you to verify your thing. I now never get any scam calls on my mobile. Do we know, lastly, Kevin, you kicked this off, and it is a really interesting topic, and I think you're absolutely right. We need to highlight this all the time for people's own protection. But do we think that where our phone numbers are coming from in these kind of circulations are from big sites, big sort of tech sites that look for them to verify an account and maybe are hacked then?
Yeah, I think they are, because one of them actually asked for me by name. By my first, so obviously that wasn't an algorithm that picked me out. He asked for me by name.
Okay.
And I pretty quickly into the conversation, I realized it was a scammer. So they obviously do have access to people's names, maybe from sites that have been previously hacked. We would all have given out our landline numbers 10, 20 years ago to get a new fridge delivered or whatever. So I'm sure these are not, you know, as safe as the US Treasury, you know, so that people can actually access them. My daughter, who's in her 20s at one stage, a scammer rang and asked me by name, and she politely told him that I wasn't due out of prison until 2022.
And you know, a chip off the old block is your daughter.
Yeah, she would have that kind of black humour as well, and he just absolutely hung up there and then, you know.
Imagine it was somebody offering you a job or something. Imagine it had gone wrong, horribly wrong. we might take stay with me, Kevin, because I love hearing what you say. But we might take one more call on this. I love it. I'm now thinking I'm going to get a tin whistle and play the Lonesome Boatman or something down the phone at them. But Tom is on the line, one of our listeners. Tom, what happened to you?
Well, I have a landline and a mobile.
Yeah.
Now, don't ask me why I still have the land.
Yeah, a lot of people
just
do.
Lying in the hall, and it's connected. I've disconnected it since. But I got a call, there's something wrong with your computer, blah, blah, blah. And he got it, and I was scammed and that. But my son told me, get in touch with your bank straight away. And it was in a period of 24 hours. And the bank sorted out, so I didn't lose anything there.
Oh, wow.
But they were saying, well, this is long, and stay on, and all that jazz, and I fell for it.
Oh, God.
It's just plain and simple. But
plausible,
would you believe,
Tom? Okay,
sorry, I got a call, would you believe, a week after from another company.
Dear God. And was once bitten, twice shy?
This might be a solution for people. He said, we've detected that you've got a problem with your computer. I said, I don't have a computer, I'm 83. Yeah. And he hung up.
come here, the guy that did manage to kind of trick you, was he very
Indian.
Was he very plausible? Was he very believable?
Yes, mostly a bit believable, you know. And I mean, I only use like things like email for keeping in touch with my family who are all abroad and that.
By
the way, before we go any further here, congratulations on the show. It's working out a treat, you know.
Listen,
I mean, some of that stuff you wouldn't get it on a script.
Well, that's true. I don't think we get half of what we talk about on a script. Thank you, Tom. You're lovely. Thank you very much for talking to me. Someone else says, Ciara, a friend of mine got a blackmail emailer from a scammer. They claimed to have my friend's browsing history, and they knew that he had visited pornographic sites. And if he didn't transfer a sum of money, they would share his browsing history with his family and friends. Thankfully, he hadn't been using porn, but he was very worried that they would make up information about him. And that's from a listener in Kildare. I've heard that one too. Have you heard that one, Kevin, that they say?
I have. We were talking about it at work. I think half of our job actually got the same email.
Yeah.
And obviously they're just targeting every email that they can
well,
target.
The scary thing is that people do look at porn, and people do have little webcams on their laptops and things like that. And I have heard of people being told, we have a video of you looking at porn, we have all sorts of information on you, and it's big money they're looking for. It's not like two quid, it's like 6 grand or whatever. You know, they're looking for a lot of money, and I suspect that the odd person might fall for that one too.
I agree. Yeah, people will fall. These people are targeting your insecurities.
Yeah.
And if you feel in any way insecure about, well, maybe I'll be targeted even though I wasn't visiting porn sites, that's the result for them. That's what they're targeting. And as I was saying earlier, they will continue to evolve and change, and there'll be a new scam again next week, and they'll absolutely love it if they get even one person from an area.
Yeah. Look, thank you for highlighting this. I think it's a really interesting topic. And 53106, let us know what you think about it. That is Kevin, one of our listeners. We are talking about phone scammers and people ringing you up and trying to trick you out of your bank details or your computer details, or indeed blackmail you about porn or any other thing that they think that they have on you. Coming up after this, I'm honest to God not sure. Is it something to do with... let's talk about Disney on Ice coming up after this.